All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, every single day, the Right Side Way brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, lawyer for over 30 years in North Alabama. Oh, by the way, he's also a longtime conservative and the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. All right, so January 6th, let's talk about this. January 6th, a day that will live in infamy, but not for the reasons that the left so desperately wants it to be. In fact, it may have been just the opposite in many ways. It was a day when justice became a political weapon. It was a day that Democrats still measure as against the events like comparing to January 6, 2021 on a scale next to December 7, 1941 when Pearl Harbor was attacked. They compare it to things like September 11, 2001 when Al-Qaeda launched terrorist attacks on the nation. Their rhetoric about January 6 has been shocking. It's been galling. It's been nauseating, really. Listen, as an attorney, I know that sometimes the law is in your favor. I know that sometimes the facts are in your favor. I know that every once in a while you get lucky and both are in your favor. But when it comes to January 6th, history will record, the left had neither the facts nor the law. All they had was rhetoric. And that rhetoric came without any responsibility. They said whatever they wanted to say, whether it made sense or not. So some years ago, as an attorney, I participated in one of my legal cases from start to finish. It was a case in which one individual had been wrongfully terminated by his employer. That employer had made certain promises, and then when it all came down to it, those employers chose to just axe the employee rather than have to keep their promises. The case turned on a number of legal theories. There was things like at-will employment versus a contract. There was things like the legal premise of taking adverse action against somebody because of their military service. But there was also the question of whether or not the promises made had even induced the former employee just to forego other options in his life, and whether or not that meant fraud. Well, look, it was a legal case, right? But more than that, it was a case that involved actual betrayal. It was a case in which hopes were lifted and then dashed. It was a case in which friendships were ruined, and eventually the employee in that case who had been fired was able to prevail. A simple mediation resulted in that employee, that former employee, actually receiving some things that should have been due to him by the agreement they had already had. But was it the facts or the law? Well, what did it? Was it the overwhelming evidence that lent to the validity of the claims? Was it that the lawyers had such amazing reputations for courtroom prowess? Could it be the judge was known to be favorable towards employment law victims? Well, the answer is no to all the above. The real thing that drove that case to a successful conclusion was, wait for it, shame. You heard me. Shame. The real crushing blow in that case was the realization that the former employer, while they might be able to argue legally and they might be able to construe some things in the facts as being certain ways, they knew that the reality was they would have a hard time looking good in front of a jury no matter what they did. At some point, they would have to stand in front of a jury of their peers and try to explain with a straight face why they felt they could get away with the things that they did. Why, even though they might have had some inkling of legal authority in their favor, that they could just ignore the fact that everybody would see that they had lied. Shame is what did it. Shame brought them to their senses. Or at the very least, I would say, shame made them question their ability to get away with it. And you see, there's a lot to be said for allowing a little sunlight to not only expose a stain, but also to wash it out, really. Bringing those matters out of the shadows and laying them bare in the hard light of day. Well, listen, that's where we are with January 6th. January 6th, we were told over and over again by the people on the January 6th Commission and everybody in the left-wing liberal media that January 6th was absolutely an insurrection. It was an attempt to overthrow our government. It was absolutely everybody who was there, no matter who they were. Everybody on the scene that day had ill intent. They were violent. Some were even called terrorists. And then in March of 2023, 2 years after the fact, we finally got to see some actual sunlight washing over the story that had been thrust on the American public for the last 2 years. That was the day that Tucker Carlson aired video that had been withheld from public view, even withheld from defense attorneys for the January 6th accused defendants. And the public finally got to see that while there were things that maybe never should have happened, there were also a lot of things that had been misconstrued. Because you know why? Facts. Facts matter. And suddenly you began to wonder, could the January 6th Commission be shamed into actually finding a way to tell the truth? In their case, apparently not. But that's the facts. We began to see facts, finally. We began to get hold of them. But then there's the law. We were told over and over again that the law was the law. This was an insurrection. 1,500 people were hunted down around the nation, arrested for crimes against the country. It was a clear attempt, they said, to overthrow the government of the United States. But as a practicing attorney, I know I'm not allowed to get away with shenanigans that I see pundits get away with every day. I have an ethical obligation to the actual law every single day. So were I to try and reframe an issue in the presence of the judge and jury to be something that it's not, well, I'd be subject to, like, my opponent filing a motion to strike, or a motion to dismiss, or a motion for sanctions even. So let me lawyer this a bit with you. Let's imagine we're in court and you right-side ruffians are the jury. It's my goal to allow the evidence to be fully shown, but to do so, I can only do it within the confines of the actual rules of procedure, the rules of evidence, and the rule of law. You see, the law is the law. And one cannot be convicted of something like insurrection if that something does not exist under the law for them. On January 6th, there may have been what the law would refer to as lesser charges. There were crimes potentially like civil disorder or disorderly conduct or entering and remaining in a restricted building or destruction of government property or obstruction of federal proceedings. Maybe those things could be argued against some people, 1,500 of them. But all of those, by the way, are considered lesser included offenses. And they are governed under 18 U.S. Code 371 as crimes against the United States. But charges of insurrection? Well, that would have had to have been construed under the dictates of 18 U.S. Code 2383, an entirely different section of the code. Insurrection, in and of itself, is a separate term that carries a separate and distinct import in the eyes of the law. Was there an armed revolt? No. Was it well planned and coordinated in advance? No. Was there intent to overthrow our constitutional form of government and replace it with another one? The answer is still no. It may or may not surprise you, despite the fact that you heard the word insurrection thousands of times on every news outlet in the world, it may or may not surprise you to find out that the thousands of people who were present that day at the Capitol, none were charged with insurrection. None. The press liked the word, but none were charged with insurrection. Only two out of all of them, were charged with what's called seditious conspiracy. Two people. The vast majority, though, still had their lives upended because they decided to go ahead and create a newly construed interpretation of a separate piece of the code. 18 U.S. Code 1512, which prohibits obstructing a legal proceeding, except that the law was never designed for what they were using it for. And in June of 2024, the next piece of the law argument came down when the Supreme Court of the United States ruled in a landmark case called Fisher v. United States that the Biden Department of Justice had incorrectly applied that statute, and suddenly, like that, overnight, poof, hundreds of January 6 charges and convictions were reduced or dismissed. What you saw was prosecutorial abuse. It's a shame to have to say it, but it's true. It was absolutely prosecutorial abuse many, many times over. And then in February of 2025, Donald Trump finally issued pardons for January 6 defendants, and the matter came to a rest. But not before Joe Biden, on his way out of office, issued a blanket preemptive pardon for all the members of the January 6th witch hunt committee. Look, you got to wonder, why did Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger feel like they needed a pardon? Maybe because for 3 years, they withheld the facts and they allowed the nation to be browbeaten with a narrative of the law that did not match. And there, my friends, lies the rub. Any of the knuckleheads that believes that they can espouse an opinion on this matter that still chooses to use the word insurrection should not be trusted. Not for a second, because they are nothing but feckless wordbenders who have literally made the choice to abrogate the truth in favor of a sensational catchphrase. And most of the time, the world calls that a lie. It's either that, or they're just stupid. Take your pick. But in any event, it still disables their credibility. You see, words actually matter. I don't believe the violent events of January 6th were worthy of support. I don't. I don't think anybody should have broken windows or pushed or shoved law enforcement officers. There never should have been things that were broken in the Capitol. People shouldn't be climbing on walls or bum-rushing their way into the members of Congress's office. Shouldn't have done it. I don't support that. I also don't support the Antifa attacks on the federal courthouse over and over again in Portland. I also don't support the BLM riots and the largely so-called peaceful demonstrations of 2020, for which nobody went to jail. Great frustration and freedom of speech should never be allowed to combine into destruction of life, limb, and property. But in the aftermath of January 6, investigations, arrests, detentions, charges, and convictions did not match the events of the day for the vast majority who had their lives ruined by it. Over 1,500 people, like I said, were hunted down across the nation, many of whom were just present, four of whom committed suicide because of the threats of jail. People lost their jobs, lost their families, lost their freedoms. That should never be allowed to happen again, ever. The events should never have happened, but certainly the weaponization of government should never happen. Politicians and pundits should never be allowed to skew events into something that they were not. January 6th, it was a demonstration that advanced into a riot by some, a protest that went places perhaps it never should have gone. But it was not an insurrection, never was. And it should not have been a political football for a party that has no policies and no successes to stand on. You see, here's the thing. We are a nation of laws, and the laws matter. And so do the words we use when we describe them. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.